a political struggle for control of the National Association of Flight Instructors. I'm Paul Plagg, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. My guest today is the founder of TBO NAFI, or one of them, a NAFI master instructor, and the 2006 National CFI of the Year, Rich Stoll. And we're here to talk about an organization that has come together called TBO NAFI. I don't know how long this organization will last, but it's been pulled together very quickly by about 30 members of the National Association of Flight Instructors to address some rather urgent issues involving the board of directors of NAFI. Rich, thanks very much for taking some time out for our listeners today.
You're welcome, Paul. It's nice to be with you. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just address one issue with the 33 members. The 33 members are of TBO NAFI, Take Back Our National Association of Flight Instructors, are those who signed on to a memo to the board of directors of the National Association of Flight Instructors.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, we have to date about 60 members who are volunteered to be part of the committee, TBO NAFI. And then beyond that, we have an email list that we've been corresponding with and who have ostensibly given us their support. That's about 300 or 400 individuals deep. So even though the tip of the iceberg that you see will be 33 names on the memo to the board representing TBO NAFI, it's really several hundred individuals deep.
All right. Well, thanks for helping clear up the scope of that. How many members does NAFI have overall? Do we know?
I believe they're on the order of 4,000 or more members, comparable in size, I think, to the International Aerobatic Club.
All right. So we're talking about roughly 8 to 10% of the membership, which is actively involved so far in at least a correspondence level in trying to find out more and have an influence in this process.
Yes, that's right, and heavily weighted toward members who are master instructors. We have some non-master members involved with our movement as well. A lot of FISDO level and regional level flight instructors of the year, and several national flight instructors of the year. So it's quite a powerful group in terms of experience and exposure in the flight instructor community.
All right, let me go back to the beginning, because the NAFI bylaws, which many people complained they couldn't get their hands on for a long period of time, were finally published on the NAFI website October 14th, and I went over them. And frankly, I saw some things that I have seen done structure-wise in organizations outside aviation. I know a couple of, for example, ham radio clubs that were set up this way, and it eventually caused problems when, after a period of things going really well, suddenly there was a dispute and the members realized they didn't really have any hand on the controls. The NAFI bylaws currently call for the election of new or replacement directors by a vote of existing directors and with no membership input beyond maybe having an influence in the nomination process. How did we get so far along in this process with a structure like that without someone questioning it before?
Well, part of it, Paul, I think, is that no news is good news, and as long as an organization is running along relatively smoothly and the membership receiving their magazines and other publications on time, and there are programs that are instituted that members can be involved with, and everything seems like it's running along smoothly, nobody really lifts up the curtain to see what's behind it. And in this particular case, it's exactly as you've described with other organizations, is that certain factions, certain members of the board wanted to relieve certain other members of the board of their duties. And unfortunately, the two individuals who were going to be not reelected to the board and then relieved of their duties with the master instructor program were the two board members who had the highest visibility and the most contact and the most face time with the membership. And as far as the membership was concerned, truly represented their voice on the board. And so now all of a sudden we see out of the blue, apparently, these two board members are going to be taken away from us. So we've lost our link. And that's what got the whole ball rolling. And then we come to find out that we really have zero say in this process whatsoever.
Okay, now tell us a little bit about Sandy and Joanne Hill, because I don't know about their background that much. There are 11 NAFI directors, and were Sandy and Joanne, who are given a lot of credit in your press releases for the being the underpinnings of the Master Instructor Program, were they among the directors that were on board with the organization when it was folded into EAA back in the mid-90s?
Yes, they were. They've been members of the board of directors for a very long time, and are certainly proactive in generating the new programs that we see in the National Association of Flight Instructors. They've been very proactive with the working with the FAA and other industry sponsors to revitalize the General Aviation Awards program, and really very strong advocates for the flight instructor community and flight instructing as a profession. And so as I said, they're the ones who have the most day-to-day contact with the membership.
All right. Now, did they not also get some of the protections that were built into the rechartering of NAFI at the time it was taken over by the EAA? I know that at the time there was concern that NAFI be equipped with enough inertia that its identity would continue on and not just become another wing of EAA. How can they be removed from office?
Yes, the Hills, along with several other board members at the time the affiliation came into being, were grandfathered in. In other words, they could stay on board until either they passed away or they decided to resign. Unfortunately, what else is in the mix is that the board elects and reelects other board members. And so it just so happens that the Hills were up for re-election to the board, and there were enough votes against re-electing them that ostensibly they were being relieved of command or fired. But they were also given the opportunity to resign, but that wasn't an option either.
All right. Now, if there are 11 board members, your press release mentions the possibility of them being removed by a 4-3 vote. That math doesn't add up to me.
Yes. I believe that not all of the board members are allowed to vote in this particular process right here.
Well, I would imagine that if two people are going to be removed, they might not be given a vote in their own removal process. But how is it structured that some other board members would be left out?
It's not exactly clear to me, but, the longstanding board members, of course, are allowed to vote on all these different issues. And I think, perhaps there are a couple of other board members who are not allowed a vote in this particular case. That's my understanding, or at least my read of it.
My guest is Rich Stoll, who is a master flight instructor with the National Association of Flight Instructors, also 2006 National CFI of the Year. We're talking about TBO NAFI, or Take Back Our National Association of Flight Instructors. And we'll talk more about this in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here talking today with Rich Stoll, who is a flight instructor, NAFI member, NAFI master instructor, and is among the founders of TBO NAFI, which stands for Take Back Our National Association of Flight Instructors. And this stems from an internal political dispute within the National Association of Flight Instructors, which, because of the structure of the organization's bylaws, the members don't have any direct control over. Rich, I mentioned earlier in this interview, I've seen two situations before in organizations that were set up this way where this kind of thing happened, where they cruised along for years when things were going well. But in one case, the board members who were insulated largely from member input started doing things with community, you know, property of the organization that was really inappropriate. And because there was no direct lever you could pull as a member to stop this abuse, what happened was the organization literally disappeared. Another competing organization started, all the movers and shakers moved over there, and the original organization that had these insulative bylaws ended up being gone. How is it that this is spilling out into the general media, and do we risk having this happen to NAFI?
As far as the risk happening to NAFI, it is a very real risk, which is quite unfortunate. I've been a NAFI member myself for almost 20 years now. At first, we tried to keep this internal among the membership interacting with the board. Even Tom Pobrezny, president of EAA, intervened and tried to mediate the issue as well. But every step of the way, members of TBO NAFI and our committee were thwarted and denied access to the rest of the NAFI membership. So we were really isolated from communicating our concerns and message to the rest of the membership. So that necessitated, at this point, us releasing information to the media so that we can use that avenue to let other NAFI members and concerned flight instructors and even sponsors of the organization know what's going on here. We've been dealing with this now for 2 weeks internally. And even Tom Pobrezny, in a memo to the board, stated that the credibility of the entire board of NAFI is suspect at this point.
Well, that brings us to the question, what happens from here? You guys have called on the entire board of NAFI to resign, new bylaws to be established that allow member voting, and a new board to be elected. Is there any thought that might happen?
Well, unfortunately, it seems rather doubtful that will happen given how the board has failed to address the various issues we've raised over the last 2 weeks. They failed to address the memo and supporting resolutions that we put forth at the board meeting last Friday. And it just seems as though they're moving in a single track. They're focused on an internal squabble, whereas we're focused on the governance issues, the core governance issues of the whole organization. So there seems to be a disconnect between where the board has its focus, narrowly focused, and where our concerns are and our focus is at this time.
Well, now, I have to observe that this must be fairly serious because, as I'm sure you're aware, Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves is a weekly guest, and we discuss safety topics, and many times the conversations go into areas which make NAFI and, frankly, some of the other general aviation advocacy groups very uncomfortable. Bob's story is that he was asked to allow NAFI to have editorial input on his writing and had to resign in order to resolve that conflict. When you do that, especially if you're a master flight instructor, you're giving up a very important benefit, and that is that being a master CFI with NAFI exempts you from the biennial refresher courses. And, you know, you could say that, well, that, you know, I don't know that any that one is any more work than the other, but certainly most of the people who are currently master CFIs would be doing both if they had to. What does this mean for members who have threatened to resign from NAFI? Is this serious? Is it a bluff? I mean, what's going to happen here?
No, it's not a bluff. There's a lot of passion and anger and frustration among the people, the members and TBO NAFI committee members who have been trying to get the board to be responsive to our concerns. So we are exploring our other options, which are establishing a new competing organization and having programs that are similar. In terms of a master instructor program that's recognized by the FAA. And it's not so much in the flight instructor renewal process that you're exempt from it in the master program, but the FAA has accepted and authorized the master instructor program to qualify similar to a flight instructor refresher clinic, that if you go through that process, they will count that as satisfying the requirements to renew your flight instructor certificate. So we are looking at, and no one has a monopoly on these types of programs. A lot of different programs can be presented to the FAA for approval. And so we're looking at all of those other options to be able to provide services and benefits to members of a new organization similar to, if not even better, than what they're used to seeing.
Well, it certainly sounds like maybe some lessons will be learned if that ever happens about how to set up a set of bylaws.
I would certainly hope so. And, our main goal here is one of the main considerations is that our board be 100% elected by the membership.
I have to ask you this question, and I hope it's not too probing, but it's going to be on my mind, and I'm sure some listeners' minds as well. Has being affiliated with EAA been a help, or has it provided additional complications in what the organization's going through right now?
Well, I don't think it's added any more complications. In fact, it was heartening on our side of the issue that Tom Pobrezny took a proactive role here to try to intervene, to try to encourage the board to move from two distinct factions that were fighting to one faction that is responsive to the membership. So I think that that relationship has been beneficial throughout the current crisis, but also in the larger scope of things, we certainly have appreciated and enjoyed the relationship and the benefits that have come with being affiliated with EAA.
Well, Rich, I have to only wish you guys luck, and I don't mean luck necessarily in a one-sided sense, but in holding this together if it can be done. And we will certainly continue to follow the story with interest, and I may want to check back with you as this progresses down the tracks. In the meantime, I have to ask you about the name of the organization. Did you name it TBO NAFI because NAFI is due for overhaul?
Yes, that did cross our minds. And, and they can go to tbo-nafi.org for information.
All right, and we'll have that link, too, from any place they found this interview. Rich, thanks very much for joining us today and filling us in on some detail. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Paul.
My guest has been Rich Stoll, who is a flight instructor, a NAFI master instructor, and 2006 National CFI of the Year, and one of the founders of TBO NAFI. Robert Buckman, who was originally scheduled to be my guest today, will be on the AeroNews special feature tomorrow. You've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.